We're turning to Proverbs 19. We're just reading the first three verses. In these verses, there's a metaphor of a journey. You see it in verse 1, as the word walketh is used, speaking of our way of living, as if it's a journey. And then in verse 2, it talks about hasting with our feet. And then in verse 3, the fool's way. So we're on a journey. And on this journey, we might think, well, what I want to do is get to the pot of gold. And people are willing to cut corners to get there. And then there are some people that maintain godly character in the midst of all kinds of temptations. And the Bible says that's better. And we need to understand why. Why is integrity better than the pot of gold? This is the word of God. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the fool be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord, the precious word of the living, true God. Why is integrity better? You might remember that way that Job's wife spoke to him when he went through this tremendous trial, this sudden adversity that piled on and piled on and piled on. And Job's wife asked him why he retained his integrity. In Job chapter 2, verse 7, we read that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? I suggest to you that in the life of Job, and in that experience, as Job was confronted by his wife, there was the beginnings of an answer as to why we should consider integrity better, even in the midst of trying circumstances, even in the midst of what these verses talk about is poverty, being poor. Because Job was not sinning with his lips when he made this answer. He said that we might receive evil at the hand of God as well as good. In other words, bad circumstances as well as good ones. Things that seem to us to be grievous and terrible and backwards, but that come from God's wisdom. And it's important that we recognize that there is a moral component to this. Because our world thinks very differently about these questions. Our world today begins to say that being poor actually is better. That being rich is what is bad. If you're rich, you are inherently bad, according to the categories of the world today. Many people in our society. Being rich is inherently bad. Being poor is inherently good. Now, poor people need to have resources and they need to have wealth distributed to them so that they might not be poor. But being poor is essentially good. But the book of Proverbs blows apart those categories. The book of Proverbs talks about the value of wealth gained by hard work and stewardship. And it's important that we recognize that wealth is held out in the book of Proverbs as something that is part of God's blessing. It's part of a life of wisdom. But we still have to consider this question. What is it that characterizes the difference between someone who is poor and wise and someone who is foolish. And verse 1 gets us into it right away. It says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Now, if you're reading that verse carefully, you might be surprised a little bit, because the poor is on one side of the verse, but you don't see the word rich on the other side. Instead, you see the word words about being perverse in one's lips. There's something missing. That reference to the rich person. It occurs later on in the book of Proverbs. It occurs in chapter 28 and verse 6, as the word of God says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." There it is. There's a connection. The one who's perverse in his ways, even though he's rich, is lesser than the poor person who walks in his integrity, who walks in uprightness. But in this verse, we don't have that full contrast. We don't have the full contrast between the poor and the rich. We have the contrast between the poor person who's holding fast to his integrity, like Job, and the one who's perverse in his lips. What's the contrast here? What is better? It's better to be poor and to maintain godly character than to be perverse in your ways and to be foolish. And where this comes down to us is in those situations when we're experiencing a financial deficit. We're experiencing a particular need, and the temptation is to cut corners. Well, just flood your timesheet a little bit. People tell you that at work. Just write down something different on your taxes. It's okay. You've worked hard in past years. This is a time when you need it. And sometimes we even have these thoughts within ourselves. We don't need to hear it from someone else. Well, someone asked me a sudden question, and I can give them the truthful answer, or I can give them the answer that looks right. It might gain me some advantage. That's what this verse is talking about. The Bible says that's foolish. That's foolish because you are not seeing that integrity is better even than wealth. That's what this verse is talking about. Better is the poor person that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Cutting corners is so foolish because it fails to take into account a world in which God provides. A world in which godly character is far more valuable than the ways of getting ahead in a temporary way in a fallen world. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing later on in one of his New Testament letters, he talks about being poor yet making many rich. There's something going on in the kingdom of God that allows poor people to be wealthy in the way that really matters. And in this verse, it has to do with integrity. It has to do with the kind of godly character, the kind of character that's been shaped throughout the book of Proverbs as we've been reading it, especially in chapters 1 to 9. Wise people can grow rich. We've seen that before. We've seen that many times in the book of Proverbs. But poor people, maintaining their integrity, are wise. There's wisdom in this. The poor person has a good conscience. The poor person who maintains their integrity is in a better state than the rich man. In fact, chapter 28 and verse 6 says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." The comparison is between someone who walks in uprightness and one who's rich. And which one is better? And chapter 28, verse 6 says, the poor person who's walking in godliness is better. And we've seen this many times in the book of Proverbs. We've seen it in many different ways. For instance, chapter 15 and verse 16 puts it this way. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Chapter 16 and verse 18 talks about a little with righteousness being better. Why? Because God lays up wisdom for the righteous. Proverbs 2 verse 7 says, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Proverbs 2 verse 7. Proverbs 10 verse 9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. There's a contrast between the one who walks uprightly, the one who walks in dependence upon the Lord, and the one who perverts his ways. You see, the person who perverts his ways is following the path of trying to seize things for himself or herself. By their lips, by the way that they say things. And who does that remind you of? It's the devil. This is the way of Judas, the betrayer. This is the way of those who would try to gain by false lips. And the Bible says, even though you are poor, even though you are in a situation where you're desperate and in need to be dependent upon God and to grow in his character is better. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. When someone maintains their integrity, it actually benefits other people. Future generations, if it's part of your family, other people around you, they are blessed because of your integrity. And this is the way we saw the Lord Jesus Christ live his life. This is the way we understand the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was extremely rich, and he gave up that rich, that wealth. Why? So that we, by his poverty, might become rich. In order to bless us, in order to give us the benefits of his willingness to live the life that is better, even though he gave up riches. The Lord Jesus Christ did that for us in order to enable us to see the fact that there is something beyond the bank balance that you have in 2 weeks and the assets that you have in retirement. Jesus puts it this way. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, the Bible says that you've already been given the most valuable resource, the greatest wealth that you could possibly have, a soul. A soul that is designed to live forever in communion with God. A soul that is designed to bring you the greatest possible enjoyment and satisfaction that you could ever have by being in fellowship with God. And Jesus Christ came in order to show us that that wealth is what he's after. That resource for you. But you see, we need to be turned around. We need to be turned around because our tendency is to say, well, I have to figure out a way to get it done. I have to figure out a way to get it done for myself. I have to figure out a way. And the first verse of this chapter says, the way that we often choose when we're thinking that way is perverting our lips. Lying. Fudging the truth. Cheating a little bit. It's the way of the world. And we need to see what is better. So, not only does the first verse tell us about integrity versus being a fool, but we get a couple other verses that tell us about what it is like to be a fool and what it ends up looking like. Verse 2 says, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Being without knowledge is not good. And we know that the book of Proverbs has been telling us again and again that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. We know that God actually tells us through Jesus Christ that eternal life is to know him. John 17, verse 3. Knowing God is the true knowledge. And if you can know God through the circumstances of your life, you have gained the greatest riches possible. Knowing God is what counts. But to be without knowledge, it's not only not better, it's not good. It's something that is not the way things should be. And the connection here with hasting is when someone doesn't have knowledge, when they don't really understand the things that really count, they run to do things that make things worse. Often in this connection, you might see the connection with greed. It can apply to other sins. We've seen that before in the book of Proverbs, hasting into sin, listening to the wrong voices. But just think about greed for a second. The things that people do to try to make some money. I worked in a community mental health organization in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And the people that I worked with were in the community, and they had to come in and get a certain amount of money every couple times a week in some cases, because the agency was their payee. So they got about $15. Okay, so one of the guys I worked with, every time he got his money, he went over to the pharmacy, he bought this huge carton of cigarettes, and with the remaining money, he bought a lottery ticket. And he would take the cigarettes out and he would smoke them with his hands shaking. And he had that lottery ticket in his hand. Because he was hoping that finally this was going to be the day when he was going to win the lottery. And he went as fast as possible to go get that lottery ticket and those cigarettes. I've got my money now. And by the time the next time came that he was supposed to be paid, he was out of money already. And this is what happens. This is the kind of thinking that the Bible's talking about here. There's no lasting value in those cigarettes. They're going to be gone before the next time the guy gets paid. The lottery ticket is just a piece of paper. Unless somehow, by some astronomical chance that I'm sure one of you can figure out, he might win. But in the meantime, he's waiting. And this is what it's like when we're greedy. We think that we are going to accomplish something that gets us ahead, but it actually puts us in a place where we are on hold. We're on hold in life in the ways that really count. We're on hold in terms of developing godly character. And something happens when we're on hold like that. Something happens when we're in that sort of state in life where we're on hold spiritually. We haste to make money without knowledge of God. We cut corners. But what is happening to us in our relationship with God? Well, verse 3 tells us, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Notice carefully, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. All of a sudden, foolishness, not building knowledge of God, not growing in integrity, becomes God's fault. When we get in a situation that we brought about ourselves. That's the dynamic here. That's what this verse is talking about. It's talking about getting into a situation where we're experiencing consequences, where there's pressure on us, where we're experiencing pain and discomfort, and blaming God for it. And this is also the way that we tend to think. When we pervert our way, when we begin to lose our knowledge of God, when we begin to lose our integrity, when we begin to lose our character, we fail to see what's truly important. I want to have a carton of cigarettes and a lottery ticket today with my $15. Really? Is that the best way to spend $15 if that's what you're getting and you get $15 more at the end of the week? Okay. Everything was taken care of. Housing, clothing, everybody worked around this person to help him in so many different ways. He only had that $15 to choose how to spend his money on. But you see, the principle's the same. We can pervert our ways through our own foolishness, but when it comes down to it, how many times have you heard an unbeliever shaking their fist at God because of things that you can determine by asking them questions came about as a result of their own choices? See, that's the way that we live. That's why we have Psalm 37 in the Bible. That's why we've been singing it. That's why we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need the Sermon on the Mount. Because our way of thinking is to suddenly blame God for things that we do as we pervert our way. What's missing in someone who frets against God is the foundation that has been laid in the book of Proverbs from the very beginning. Chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The foundation of wisdom, the foundation of a life that is better, is the fear of the Lord. And you need to know something. There's good news today. The Lord Jesus Christ came in order to restore integrity, in order to restore the fear of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came as the suffering servant, we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 9, there was no deceit in his mouth. He didn't cut corners with his lips. He knew that he was going to suffer. And he suffered on our behalf in order to bring us to a new place. The Bible says that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we actually have a new self that we can put on. You can put on integrity. You can put on the knowledge of God. You can put on a character that does not complain against God. And this is what it looks like. Ephesians chapter 4. You put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness and true holiness. And what does that look like? Well, the book of Ephesians goes on. I'll give you just one example. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Speaking the truth. That's part of integrity. So I get into a situation. Result of my own choices. A brother or sister in Christ asks me about it. An elder in the church asks me about it. How was it that you got into that situation? And because I know Jesus Christ, I can face that and I can tell them the truth. I don't have to live on the pathway of all of this foolishness. Changing the story. Acting as if I don't know God. Perverting my way and then finally getting frustrated with God himself. Because of Jesus Christ, there's a new way. I'll give you one more example before we close. The issue in verse 3 has to do with contentment. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. There comes a time in our life where we experience difficulty as a result of things that have happened in our life, either from our choices or from someone else's. And the tendency as sinners is to fret against God. Psalm 37 has been speaking to us about this, but there's another place where the Bible speaks about it. Listen to this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The next time you're in a situation where you're tempted to cut corners, where you are tempted to lie, in order to try to achieve something that isn't going to last, remember the outcome of a way of life that is not based on the knowledge of God. Remember what these verses say. The soul that's without knowledge, the one that hastes with his feet, sinneth. When people experience the consequences of perverting their way, they end up fretting against God. And they do not achieve the true contentment of someone who can say, because Jesus Christ is my Savior, in the situation where I find myself, I am able to do things that I could not do otherwise. And this is what I can do. I'm going to think about what's true. I'm going to think about what's honest. I'm going to think about what's just. I'm going to think about what's pure. I'm going to think about what's lovely and of good report. I'm going to think about what's virtuous and praiseworthy. And I'm going to do those things because that's how Jesus is teaching me to think. This is the thought life of Jesus Christ, being given to you as a gift. And if you could possibly buy the thought life of Jesus Christ, it would be worth everything that you have to give. But it has been given to you, brothers and sisters, as a gift. It is given to you when you face difficult circumstances. It is given to you when you face poverty. It is given to you when you need to know the best way to live. A life of integrity is a life that fears the Lord. And when we truly fear the Lord Jesus Christ, We know that what he has given us is what we need for today. And what he has given you is the ability to make your request known to God with thanksgiving, and to have the peace of God keeping your minds and hearts through Jesus Christ Jesus, and to think about what is honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy, and to see this lived out in those who are following Jesus Christ. And if you ever see someone demonstrating to you contentment and peace in the midst of trying circumstances, you are seeing that which is better that comes from Jesus Christ. And it's given to you so that you might see him. May all of our lives point to Jesus Christ in this way, including the times when we experience the consequences of our own sin and poverty in a fallen world. Because integrity through Christ is better